Welcome, travelers. We're aware that your journey was difficult, but prepare to have your questions answered, for you have been granted an audience with the Masters of Modern.
And welcome back to Masters of Modern. I am your host, Alex Kessler, here with my co-host, Ben Bateman.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to episode 53 and a half.
I know. And today we have, as our wonderful guest, Oliver Brink, director of the web series Top Decking.
Hello.
So before we get into that, today is actually our, so 2 weeks ago we did a contest. It was our year anniversary episode. We've been doing this for a year. So we had people tweet at us at hashtag, at the MMCast, hashtag the MMCast 52. We have taken all of the names of people putting this out, and we're giving stuff away today. So every couple minutes, we're going to give stuff away in the middle of the podcast as we talk about the thing we're talking about. We are giving away some cool stuff.
We had a remarkable, first of all, I just want to just jump in here. Like, heart exploded with just, like, love from the fact that you guys tweeted at us so much in the course of a week. I mean, like, a remarkable number of people.
We hit our goal, like, in 2 days.
Yeah, we said 100 unique users, not 100 tweets. Like, we made that clear. And we got to 100 in, like, a day and a half. And then it just kept going. So there's a lot of names, but we're giving away a lot of stuff. So should we just list really quickly the stuff right now so you sort of know what to expect?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to go descending order, right? So first descending order item.
So we have we'll just whatever we have. We have three official Master of Modern deck boxes, and by official I mean that we have these Ultra Pro boxes that I have personally spray painted with our logo, and me and Ben will have signed them with silver Sharpie, so they'll be cool, exclusive, handmade deck boxes.
One of a kind,
or three of a kind. Three of a kind.
Oliver will be providing commentary to these items right now.
all things, by the way, will come with a Ben Bateman and Alex Kessler from the web series Top Decking tokens. They'll be Fate Tal and Jason tokens, signed by us as well.
Okay, sure.
There will be two packs of Russian Khans of Tarkir.
Two packs. Yep. Russian Khans of Tarkir.
Yes. And because Oliver Brink is here, and today we're talking about the web series Top Decking, we actually have a leftover playmat from Top Decking, so we'll be giving one Top Decking playmat.
It is the playmat that was featured in the opening credits of season 2 of Top Decking.
They're sweet playmats. Yeah. I don't actually own one, but maybe.
Yeah, they're cool.
I tweeted, so maybe I'll get it.
And last but not least.
No, there's more.
Oh, there's more. Not last but not least. We'll be giving away a signed playset of, you want to say it?
Grand Architects. Yeah. They're going to be signed, but there's going to be four of them, me and Alex. We thought about all different cards to give away. They're the most fitting card, I think. And we have four we can give you, and they'll be signed by both of us. Yep. Even though Kessler doesn't really sign off on the card, but incidentally.
Well, after we sign them.
Yeah. And the beauty of it is the reason that we have Grand Architects we can give away is because Kessler specced on Grand Architect when it was announced.
Yeah, super hard.
Yeah, so we've got a number of them. So we have a shared love for Grand Architect.
And last but not least,
the
most important thing.
We're giving away that Masters of Modern playmat we showed you guys, the only one we have to give away.
Yep. We have four. We're giving one away to you guys. Me and Ben each have our own. And then we have one backup one because Ben lost it. And I'm worried if one of us loses one, we won't have them when we need them.
Yeah, I was pretty sure someone had stolen it. I was like asking everyone at the store at the pre-release, and then it was just in my car. That was foolish.
So you will be whoever this lucky person is, and they'll be the last person we mentioned today, will be the lucky owner of one of three people that will have
this
playmat.
I'm just imagining you now walking through the store being like, where is it?
I was upset.
Where is it?
Pulling also,
a total Batman on everybody. Where is it? Where is it?
You forgot the last one is that we are going to be giving away one full set of Top Decking tokens that are all signed.
Yeah. So that's all the prizes. Hopefully it's really exciting. Hopefully some of you guys are Top Decking fans because some of the stuff is Top Decking. And
so there's a total of 8 items, and throughout the show we're just gonna be talking about some things.
So it's gonna be a 40-minute show, and every 5 minutes we'll give one away.
Math is incorrect, but we'll be giving it away every 3 minutes and change because of the opening and the outro.
Well, no, so it's been 5 minutes exactly now, so we're gonna give the first prize away right now.
Ooh.
So what's the first prize, Ben?
First prize is going to be one of these signed deck boxes, these Masters of Modern deck boxes.
All right, so
they're really pretty, guys.
And so once we announce and you hear this on the podcast, just like send us a DM on.
Or no, just make sure to tweet at us and we'll DM you, and because you can't DM us without us following a person. That's
got
Twitter
it.
Works.
Got
so,
it. Got it.
Either email us at themmcast@rocketjump.com or tweet at us at themmcast, and we'll figure out a way.
Email just so you don't have to like tweet your address out.
Let's make it for sure. Email at us at themmcast. All right. So for the first person,
deck box number 1.
All right. It goes to at Zeref Yal.
Oh yeah, we love that guy.
Yeah, he's sent us videos and stuff. So you get one of the handmade deck boxes.
I should be noting this, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
Okay. Probably, yeah.
Yep, Zeref Yal. I'm going to write your on your little thing here.
All right, so that's going to be Ben's job. So to kind of break down what we're talking about today, so the Pro Tour happened Sunday, and it was kind of boring for the most part because of how good the lands are and because of the gold theme of last block. The entire format was mostly old cards. There was not even new cards, so it wasn't even exciting for a standard player. And for a modern player, there's no real new cards to talk about.
Yeah, let's be honest here, guys. We're a modern podcast, and like sometimes we talk about stuff that isn't modern, and we just sound dumb when we do it. We play a lot of Magic, don't get me wrong, but like we talk a lot about modern because we just know the format really well. If I try to talk about standard, I can tell you the cards and what they do and some of the decks, but I can't tell you like the nuances.
I don't know, matchups or what's the meta game right now.
Why he played three of this card in his Pro Tour.
We can talk about limited a little bit, but even then it's going to be... like no information. You're not going to get better information from somewhere else.
I don't feel like that's why you guys listen to this podcast. So we're going to stick with modern content and then talking about failed endeavors.
I mean, the things I will say.
Whoa, just burn.
Okay. Ouch. So, so on one note of that, I do think Jace is good. Jace is going to see play in modern. Jace is seeing play in standard. This is the last. Like Jace is just going to go up until it rotates and then it'll drop a little bit, but.
That card's sweet.
That thing has proven to be good.
Well, and like as we mentioned, Grand Architect, the whole deal with the Grand Architect deck that anyone who's ever tried to use the card knows that a blue 2-drop is the most important card that deck needs, and you have to figure out what the correct blue 2-drop is.
And Grand Architect is the deck that everyone's thinking about for that card right
well,
now.
All I'm saying is it's a new card that was printed that fits the slot well and is powerful enough to maybe like do something. I don't know. Let's move on.
Okay. So what we're actually going to talk about today, so we have Oliver, as we mentioned, and we've mentioned top decking a lot so far. So we're actually going to talk about top decking today. That's something I was involved with heavily as the creator of top decking along with Craig Blanchett, and Oliver was the director and Ben was the star of it. That's how me and Ben kind of started our magic making content stuff.
I wouldn't call myself a star, but I had one episode in the first season that was sweet and I really enjoyed it and I wore a lot of makeup and fake fangs. I played a vampire, which is even funnier because when I moved to LA and I was from Seattle and I was super pale, people just used to tell me that I looked like a vampire and should be in Twilight because it was like the thing back then. I don't really get told that anymore because it's not the thing anymore and I've been in the sun for a while. But then I was in
I don't know, you still look like you could be a good vampire.
thank you. And then in the second, and I came back in the second season and they defanged me and I was in more episodes. Very fun. Really enjoyed it.
And we made you wear that ridiculous college type sweater, the academic sweater.
Yeah, totally. Which is actually my sweater that I wear sometimes.
Yes.
But
well, I mean, considering that I'm sitting here like Mr. Black Flag cutoff shirt with green hair, it's like,
Yeah, but so the point is, it was
so
it was
for people like, Oliver is very metal looking. And
I'm from Norway.
His last name should
Ben
be like
Stone Boy Metal. Across me, very preppy looking, and that's kind of, you kind of are really, you're a good contrast. You're like peanut butter and chocolate or jelly, depending on like, salt and caramel.
Oliver's name, his last name should be like Stoneburner.
Orc Slayer.
Yeah. So anyway, the reason that we're talking about this, guys, because I know you're like, I listen to modern content, and why are we hearing about something that isn't Magic Cards? But this is Magic Cards. It's one of the few times that somebody has really made an extensive number of high production value episodes of web series that's really about Magic Card players and people that are in that world. And it's all still out there. And there's also other content that... some of these episodes of this podcast have actually been released in audio form on the same channel. So you may have actually accidentally come
video
across
form.
Them. Yes, I'm saying video form of these audio podcasts.
Yes.
And they will continue, like in the future, we're going to do more of that. But you may have come across this content on accident. And it's just going to be fun because we were all involved in it and play Magic, except for Oliver, to talk about this web series.
I've played a bit in the past.
He's cast a spell on occasion.
And we're going
to
be giving stuff away in the midst of it.
Part of it is this is kind of the end of our year-long anniversary thing with the prize giving, and top decking is something that's pretty significant to the starting of this podcast and how it all came together. And we're going to talk about how that happened, talk about kind of how the podcast started in the first place maybe a little bit, and talk about top decking.
Yeah, absolutely. So should we give one more thing away now because it's been about 4 more minutes?
We are exactly at 10 minutes in the recorder. When you guys are listening to this, I probably edited some of the stuff out, so it'll be a little different. But so what's the next thing I'm giving away?
I think we'll jump straight into one of these Russian cons packs.
All right.
We'll kind of jump around a little bit. So we have a Russian cons of Tarkir pack to give away. Maybe you'll get a Russian Flooded Strand.
And it goes to at... Nimuera, which is spelled at Nymuera.
Oh.
Yeah, I think I recognize that Twitter handle.
Okay.
Nymuera?
So that's a Russian pack. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Nimuera for winning a Russian pack of cons. That's exciting for you and for us. to give away things to our fans. Thank you. Let's get in with the interview after I write this down.
I'll break down real quick how to top decking or what top decking is. So top decking is a 2-season long web series. It's very similar to kind of the Wizard sponsored version of Friday Nights, which is their kind of web series about guys and girls who play Magic the Gathering at a card store. Mm-hmm. So we came around and we made one, and we were all in a more, like, we're trying to make television professionally at the time, especially the people that were working on top decking. Right. So we kind of took that approach on the quality level of things. And it was like 2010?
Yeah.
2010, so. we made two seasons.
5 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
Jeez. I think we season started one. Production yeah, in 10. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's about this girl named Becca. She has recently graduated school. This was like in the midst of the 2008 financial crisis. So she was unable to get a job at a college because she's a millennial, and that's what millennials are about. And she happens upon a card store. Yeah, I know. she happens upon a card store, and they're hiring because she sells them on how good her baking would probably be, which we got a lot of flack for.
Yeah, that's not sexist at all, is it?
For the record, she also graduated summa cum laude and all these other great things, but that was edited out because of time.
Right. Right.
So she gets a card in the store. There's a bunch of wacky characters. The owner is named Eric, and he is played by Brendan Weinhold, and he is kind of the classic stoner owner who's a little bit wackier than one would expect.
He's a goofy guy.
He's a goofy guy.
In real life, too.
He's also actually a very skilled Magic player.
Yeah. He plays a lot of Magic.
He does.
There's a lot of Magic played on the set of Top Deck.
Yeah, it was actually, that's one thing that blew me away about the show is how many people off screen were big Magic players. As well as on screen.
Yes, absolutely. I played Magic in full vampire garb many times.
Yeah. Yeah, we had games going on between takes and shit, if I remember.
Go back and say that.
We had games going on between takes and everything.
Yep. And then we the store, his employee is the straight man, Greg.
Yep.
Who I quickly forgot his name and then remembered
Sean. Sean Anthony.
No. I remember Sean's name.
Oh, yeah.
Sean's
I forgot Greg.
You forget Sean. Sean's Greg. A heartthrob. He's
not only that, he was when Sean came back for season 2 with a shaved head, we just heard that he was out in the desert shooting a war movie, and then lo and behold, we found out it was American Sniper.
Yes. It was pretty cool.
So, yeah,
cool.
He's been in some movies and also some McDonald's commercials or Walmart commercials.
He was in Walmart commercials and 5-Hour Energy at the same time.
Too? Maybe.
I could have sworn he's in Sketchers.
Yeah,
so
he's
in Sketchers. Oh, wow,
I think so. And then you had Ryan Garcia.
Yeah, his best friend who got married yesterday.
Yeah.
Ryan was kind of the classic Spike. His motivation was mainly winning, and he would train in many episodes. And he had an evil twin played by the same actor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he was great.
Oh, man.
I always felt you guys underutilized him, Kyle, as a character.
For what it's worth, it wasn't by choice.
All right. It was hard. Scheduling was difficult.
Oh, God. Scheduling was a nightmare.
Well, it's something that people don't realize. We didn't pay anyone. Yeah. Like, we were all doing this kind of at the kind of.
Oh, I realized. Ryan was busy filming Honda commercials and being in Top Gun musicals.
Well, he was on
Top Gun, the 30 minute musicals. He was doing a lot of those. Top Gun, Ghostbusters.
Well, if you guys do watch it and you go watch the last episode, Top Gun, he has a mustache. Him and Kyle both have mustaches, and that is because he was in the Top Deck thing and he refused the shave.
Right.
Which was extra convenient for us.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We had a right in mustaches.
Yep.
So what was kind of cool about it is our original mission was trying to get as many people that haven't been into Magic to kind of understand the world. So this was around Zendikar Block, and this isn't referential for Oliver, but this is kind of when the big Magic explosion happened.
The last one. Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, like, Magic has been growing exponentially since then. Every year, 20%. Exponential is the wrong word.
I just mean, like, the big explosion, as in there have been many explosions since the beginning of the game. But the most recent one, the one that's propelled us into, like, the sort of stratosphere space that we're in now, where, like, Battle for Zendikar spoilers can be, like, the highest trending topic on Facebook, that was never a thing that would have happened in 2008.
Yeah. And so this is the beginning of that. A lot of what its goal was is trying to get people that don't play Magic to understand the world of it and not be as intimidated.
Yeah.
Because card stores have that factor that they can be very intimidating. And Top Decking did a really good job of introducing the kind of characters in a wacky way, kind of like, I mean, Scrubs didn't really do this, but Scrubs introduced people to the world of doctoring and made hospitals less scary. Though a lot of people die in that show. Makes hospitals scary.
You guys definitely took that approach, but it still was like very much like in the end, the first season anyway, like a sitcom that was like about Magic cards.
Right.
So like it wasn't really about Magic cards. It was kind of just about people that were around Magic cards.
Oh, that was always the point. We didn't want to, like, there are a lot of people out there that make magic content. We make magic strategy content every day or every week. But like the goal of that was not to compete on that level. The goal of that was to compete on a level of more like Clerks than it was to be like Channel Fireball draft videos.
I did always think it was funny though that in any of the scenes where you had to have players actually competing and the cards were even remotely on camera,
we had to teach them how to play the game.
Yeah, or like Kessler would be like
minutes before the shooting.
The amount of comments on the Top Decking YouTube channel right now that are correcting little things that are happening in the game is insane.
It's like most of them.
The worst one is in the very first episode. All of the forests, one of the players is playing in a commander game, is untapped.
Right, like
and another character says, all right, so you guys are all tapped out. They're not.
So
whoops.
Funny.
I'm just going to do this thing. The Yeah.
Every, right. For what
like,
it's worth.
Literally weekly we still get a comment from someone like, oh, those lands are untapped. I'm just like, yeah.
Well, no, but I recall in the second
well,
season.
Well, you weren't there when we were shooting it. Yeah. You had to run away to
I
go
was in
to
class.
To class and we were kind of counting on
That's
Alex, too, to be our quality gameplay checker. And then
it's
he
Craig's
was,
fault.
And
Craig
then
should
I,
have done
yeah,
better.
Craig, I think, was stressed out and tired, and he just passed out in the side room. And we're like, we're not going to wake him up. We're just going to get this shot really quick, and then we can wrap and go home.
I just remember though, like on the second season, I was around. You were like, okay, you're not on call for the next 40 minutes. But you know, actually, can you just set this matchup between Scapeshift and this other deck really quickly so it looks like it's real? Can
right.
You, can you set this so that like you know, there's like it's if it's like this Colonnade is out and it's like turn six, but like you know what I mean? Like,
I literally every game after the first episode, I played to the point that it was out against myself, making
right.
sure every single thing in play was correct. My favorite moment in this whole regard is in the finale of season one, Ryan Garcia is playing against himself in a blue-white modern control matchup. It was like the first year modern was around. And I make the decks out of a blue-white control deck I have and my foil Geist EDH deck that I own that's all foil. And he's holding it. And he's shuffling it, and he's
God.
Not
he's slapping.
He's
the
like
cards
very.
Down.
He's like bending the cards, and they're all like, "This is like $10,000 that he's holding in his hands, not being that nice to." And I'm just like the entire time freaking out. And eventually, like I say something really condescending to him, as if he's a child, because I'm so mad. Like I'm like on edge, and he like he freaks out. I freak out. There's this whole thing. Eventually, we apologize. We moved on. But it's definitely like, oh my God, he's bending. Like everything is foiled. No. Yeah, it was bad. All right, so we're actually at the point to figure out the next person to win a prize.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so now we've given away a deck box and a pack of Russian cons.
So what's next?
I think we got to save the big tickets for later, so let's do a second deck box right now.
All right.
Deck box number two, top decking.
All right, pulling it out. We literally have a top hat that I'm pulling names out.
Yeah.
Masters of Modern Deck
Box. A top hat for the top decking.
So this
episode
is for a Master of Modern Deck Box at _ crook edge.
Crook edge. You sure it doesn't just say crooked edge?
Oh, crooked edge _?
It does say crooked edge.
_ crooked edge _.
Shaking the hat. All right, pulling in. At _ crooked edge.
No, there's
_.
No way you're editing that out. That's too funny. You got to leave that in.
All right.
Crooked edge. Hashtag at _ crooked edge _. Crooked edge. It must be like a form of Quidditch or something we're unaware of. You know, it's related.
Yeah,
it's very popular in London.
So today's been a weird day.
Croquettage is so
for
hot right
all
now.
All who don't know, literally, Star Wars trailer came out maybe 20 minutes ago. Literally 20 minutes ago since we've been recording for 20 minutes. Before that, the tickets went on sale. I didn't get them. I stabbed something on my desk very hard. And then I find out actually being able to get 6 tickets. I would have been very bitter, but I wasn't. We're good now. Let's move on. All right, top decking.
So, you know what? I think because we want to talk about the top decking the Top Decking show, and rather than just sort of explaining more about it, I think I should sort of interview you guys a little bit about the show, because you're the creator and the director, and I was just a lowly talent.
Sure.
Piece
But before we do that, we're going to pull another name out of the hat.
Why?
Because we missed it. We missed one.
We were too excited.
We were too excited to talk about stuff. So what are we giving away?
I think now we're going to go ahead and give away the Top Decking playmat.
Okay, Top Decking playmat. This is a big item right before the Top Decking interview. All right, let's see. At
Rob Noel.
Did I say it? Was I
or
good?
Or Rob Noel?
Yeah, no.
Noel
like Noel. I think Rob Noel.
Noel.
I think that's pretty good. That's better than Crook Edge.
maybe I capitalized the no. Who knows? All right. Congratulations. Yeah. You get a Top Decking playmat. If you don't know what that is, go to the Websites Network YouTube channel. So that's the Top Decking TV YouTube channel now on YouTube.com.
Yeah. So anyone who's like listening to this right now and before you listen to this interview, you're just curious what it's about. Really quickly, because if you want to pause this, they're pretty quick episodes. You could like watch one to get a sense of what you're talking about.
Right.
Just Google it, Top Decking web series, and it'll come up.
Something to remember is, as far as rules go, it's a little dated. There have been some rules changes.
Right.
So the finale of the entire first season hinges on a rule that no longer is true. Another thing I always get comments on.
So I would say if you're curious, if the episodes that you may find like funniest or relevant, there's an episode in the first season called Fatal Attraction. Is that what it's called?
Yep.
Fatal Attractions, the episode that I'm in the first season, which is like the vampire episode. It's funny. So and it stands alone pretty
well.
I think
I'm also in that episode.
Yeah, you
I
are.
Think that, yeah, those
I
are
move
the...
you. I like move you from a chair.
Yeah.
So that's kind of funny if you want to watch that, just because you know who I am.
And for the record, these are definitely more PG-13 rated.
Yes.
Versus PG. So for the younger audiences out there that I know that do listen to this podcast, it's probably not the best thing for them. Though, if you look at the second season, that season is all PG.
Is there anything
good? There's no references in the second season that would not be appropriate for a child.
So Fatal Attraction, you quickly throw out like maybe two or three others that are just like a good reference point if they want to watch something kind of cool in the first or second season.
I think watch the last two episodes. Watch the last season. Episode Black Lotus in the first season.
That's one of my favorite episodes.
Watch the last two episodes of the first season, and then you could probably just move right into the second season at that point.
There's a cool one called All Hallows Eve. It's kind of a weird episode, but it's still
kind of
cool.
Halloween. Yeah. We'll share it on Twitter.
It was
probably.
Literally a Halloween special that Sam, our writer, was very, very adamant on doing. He really wanted to do a musical.
I kind of sold him on writing the whole series based off of him writing that one episode.
Really? Yeah. Oh, see, this is something I never knew about at the time.
You get to write a musical.
I get to learn things, too. Yeah. What do you know?
Learning is fun. All right,
but
interview. Time.
Yeah, let's talk. Let's talk turkey, guys. So first and foremost, I mean, I know you've played Magic a long time, Alex. I'm pointing at you. But Oliver, how did you get involved in top decking? What was like the draw for you?
I had done video work with Whitney Merritt, Alex's girlfriend,
who also plays Becca.
Yep. Who plays Becca, and also her friend Talia, who played Natalie.
Yep.
I just got a call one day from Kessler saying, hey, we're making this web series and we want to know if you'd be involved in it. And I was like, sure, what kind of capacity do you want? And he's like, well, we want you to direct it. And I said, game on. Yeah, I'm in. Like,
what was your experience with Magic prior to that?
For me, I hadn't played Magic since Revised.
Okay.
Which was
you're an oldie,
that's
but a goodie.
Like, we're talking back when I was like 8 years old, 9 years old.
So now you know how
junior
old Oliver
high,
is.
For the record, I am 30 years old. And so this is back in the early 90s, early mid-90s, 95, I think, actually. So I was 10 years old.
If you, it was Revised, it was 95.
Right? 95. Yeah. Okay.
We
so,
all
yeah.
know that.
And I never knew what the... Yeah, well, sue me. Let me just put it this way. I remember being in the comic book shop, and this guy was just buying and opening booster packs, and everybody kept talking about the Siobhan Dragon at the time, which used to be the super rare card.
Yeah.
It's like, whatever, they reprinted it.
It costs six.
But,
doesn't
but
work
at
for
the
modern.
Time, at the time, it was
it
like
is
this...
modern legal, though.
At the time, it was this really badass card. Everybody wanted one, and this guy's sitting there just opening booster packs, and on his third pack open, he's like, hey, Siobhan Dragon! Everybody's like, woo! Freaks out in the whole card store, and I'm like, what are they talking about? And it's like, oh, it's this card game. You want to give it a try?
So, okay, so that's 95.
That's
and
95.
And then this is 08. So did you have any, like, hilarious experience in the 13 years between at all? Like, is Magic on your radar at all during that time?
No, yeah, I played a little bit in college. I think this was still before they kept making all the new play styles and all that. It was still very much the standard playing. And I had a roommate who was desperately trying to get me into Magic because he said
before.
I was more fun to play with than his friends because his friends were all dicks.
Right.
kind of deal. So I played with him a lot, but ultimately for me, it was never really something I was super into to play because I just, my brain does not understand the tactics and strategy that, say, Alex or Craig know how to play within you. So it's like whenever I play, I'm like, what does this card do? Okay, well, that sounds cool. I'm just going to do it. And then,
then
find out later, you should not have done that, you jack. You dumb person. You're going to die. So it's like it was hard for me to stay involved in it. I'm an old dog. I can't learn new tricks.
I get it. So just from a style point of view, did you have any like sort of reference material that you had in mind going into top decking that really for you was – I want the series to sort of resemble or feel like this.
Right. Well, I think the Clerks reference you guys made earlier is probably the closest one. That's part of how they pitched it to me. It was like Clerks in a card store.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's awesome. I love that movie, and I like that kind of story. And I was really interested in really portraying real people that play this game, regardless of how wacky some of the situations they end up getting in as the show goes on.
Sure.
It was really sort of important to me to remind everybody in the world that we're people that play a game, not just a bunch of, you know, overweight, sweating nerds in a basement
the
way that they're generally portrayed in most media. Yes, so we really wanted to normalize it and stop creating false senses of stereotypes.
Yeah, it is funny to think that top decking can sort of it made enough of an impact on the community in Magic because, like, you know, it got well over 1 million views in the end, as well as the uncalculated views that were on the actual website outside of YouTube. So it made enough of an impact on the community that if somebody is eventually writing a book sort of about the different phases or some sort of biography about Magic and its ascent into the sort of the common psyche of the world, I guess, this is sort of like a big piece of it because it's before all those other series we talked about. It was really the first well-made series of its kind that was tackling the subject matter.
I think we were the first web series that was at least when our first episode came out, we were the first. And then this other show, what was the name of it?
Friday Nights.
Friday Nights.
The two other Magic web series are Friday Nights, which is very similar to Top Decking, a little bit more focused on gameplay.
Right? Yeah.
And that's the one that Wizards officially sponsored. And to be totally honest, I think actually they came out with a few episodes before we did.
Oh, did they?
Release-wise. I don't know if they filmed it before. And they stopped, and then Wizards sponsored them to restart them.
Got it.
Because they're a little bit more gameplay focused and they're a little bit more kid friendly,
right?
So that like one of them.
Yeah, that was the Wizards wouldn't sponsor us because we had a couple of adult
references
thrown in there, and I mean that's a shame, but it is what it is. You can't really fault them for it.
So yeah, and I think as well as Spellslingers, as well as Friday Nights, the Walk the Plane series that Nathan Holt and his brother. Corman and Holt, I think, is what the original channel is called. Anyway, they started doing these Walk the Plains videos. They're kind of like documentary videos about big tournaments, and they have a little bit of like a funny element to them. But a funny piece of trivia is that the very, very first one of those, anybody who listens to this podcast probably knows, I wear a full suit and tie to every Magic tournament I have for years.
Mm-hmm.
And the very first one of these videos is at Grand Prix SeaTac. Which was, I think, Innistrad Limited, Sealed. This is like 4 years ago, three, 4 years ago. And the video opens, and he gives his intro, and then it's like a pan across a table. And I'm sitting there at the table. Brian Kibler's actually next to me, but you can't see him. And I don't remember if I straighten my tie, but I kind of gesture and look up and smile at my opponent. And my buddy I showed it at the time was like, you look like Satan. And like, it was like my first like moment of, you know, it was like my first like a magic moment. Anyway, so that's
literally a magic moment.
A magical moment. But before I want to ask Kessler a question about his involvement in the series. But before we do that, we are going to give away yet another.
More stuff.
Woo! Prizes.
This will be the
one
second.
Year.
This will
one
be the second
year.
Cons
one
of Tark. This will be the second Cons of Tarkir Russian booster pack.
All right. Okay.
From Russia.
Pulling out of the magic hat. At the truffly one.
Oh, yeah. I know at the truffly one.
I said it correctly.
Is that the truffle hunter on Instagram? I feel like that's the truffle. Unless there's two people that reference truffles.
I feel like there's, because of the truffle shuffle, I feel like there's a lot of truffle references out there on the internet.
Could be wrong.
Also,
not
truffle
to mention,
the
truffles are just delicious.
The truffly one.
Unless too much truffle oil is a mistake.
Oh, I was referring to chocolate truffles.
Russian
which have
cones.
Nothing to do with actual mushrooms or truffles at all.
Complicated.
So.
Okay, so now the only things left to give away, and we will do this in a moment, we have one more deck box, Masters of Wonder deck box. We have the signed set of Grand Architects. We have the top decking tokens, and we have the MMCast playmat. So let's talk a little more about top decking. We'll get to that.
All right.
So what I want to know, Kessler, is you actually show up in the series, and you can see Kessler, I move him forcefully from a chair as he's playing Magic in the episode that I'm in the first season. He plays a character named Jason, who's kind of like a side character who just shows up occasionally as the Magic shop.
So his motivation... The character's motivation was two things. One was, if you watch the show Community, which is also another show that we had a lot of influence from.
Yeah.
Like we definitely were influenced by that show. The character of Starburns.
Yeah.
Who is just like, they treat him badly and he is a bad person.
Yeah.
But he's also one of the producers of the show. He
gotcha.
Like actually, like that's where he came from, is he's not actually just a random actor that they like made a joke about. He just is someone that worked on the show and then they just keep hating on him.
Right.
So he's definitely... an influence on this character. The other one is the writer, Sam. So I am not an angry person. I don't know if you've people listening to this podcast have gathered that I don't get angry very easily.
He's actually really good at not getting angry.
Yeah, like today was probably the first time Oliver saw me angry, and that's when I failed at getting tickets for Star Wars.
You were upset? You were yelling?
At first. No, but he did take a pair of scissors and start stabbing his desk repeatedly with them while he was on the phone.
I'm not used to seeing that.
Yeah, I mean
and his face contorted in a way that I don't usually see.
Kind of like Schwarzenegger in Total Recall when he can't breathe.
Yeah, almost. Kind of like that.
So, Alex Kessler, not an angry person. One of the emotions I generally resist. So Sam, in all of his loveliness, decided to write this character. So every
Jason is
every
the
appearance,
rage quit.
He rage quits at least twice or three times in the entire season. Yeah. Two seasons. So I had to like try and act for the first time in my life.
So
excluding eighth grade school plays that we're not going to go talk about.
But here's my question for you. So you're the producer, you're the creator, you're on set all the time. You even have a few lines and a few scenes. Why didn't you write yourself a bigger character? I mean, you were never had any interest?
I don't like acting. I'm not a big fan of memorizing lines.
Sure,
and
makes
then
sense.
Acting
you're also not
correctly.
Very good at memorizing lines, no offense.
Well, really what it comes down to, I'm not a big fan of doing things I'm not good at naturally.
Yeah, no, it's a fair thing.
So that's kind of why. That answers the question.
I
did write the first episode, though. So
yeah, I think that was because Sam wrote almost every episode except for the first
Sam
two?
Did not write episode one, two, or three. Right. I wrote episode one, and
Whitney
wrote the second and third one.
Two and three.
Now, let me ask you a question.
And then Craig attempted to write the episode that eventually became Black Lotus and failed.
Yeah. So that one went through like three different
writers. Three people wrote it, and then the character of Kevin, who ended up becoming one of the major villains of the series, recast seven times.
He was part of like the League of Shadows, the League of Villains that came up in the second season.
In the second season, the story is based around having a League of Villains that we kind of all established in the first season. That's why Ben comes back, because he's one of the six, five villains.
Yeah, for what it's worth, we reshot the Black Lotus episode three times. Because of time constraints and actor constraints. We shot it with one actor, and we didn't have enough time. And then we looked at what we shot and realized that we screwed up all over the place in editing.
So we had to
shoot it again with a different actor. And this actor I liked, but once again, we didn't shoot the whole thing. And then we weren't able to get the actor back in. So we recast it again. And this time we got the, I can't believe I'm blanking
Jeff.
On him. We got Jeff Bauer, who we absolutely love and adore.
Yeah.
And we got him in on it. And he just knocked it out of the park. And we finally had enough time to shoot the dang thing.
Jeff Bauer.
And we got the whole episode. We edited it. It's still one of my favorite episodes. The finished product of it,
well,
I think it's got some of the best acting and the best writing, ultimately, because we ended up rewriting it a few times.
Four times. Well, so the interesting thing about that episode also, and this is for when people go watch it, but we kind of wrote ourselves into an accidental ending for the series.
Yeah.
So in the second episode, Kyle comes and buys two Legends packs for $5
a
pop.
And it's one of my favorite moments I recall from the whole series. I do remember seeing that episode and being like, this character's sweet. Why is he not in more episodes? This guy's so like such a jerk.
Yeah, he's so evil.
So he's like he tricks Becca into buying packs for way cheaper. Not realizing how expensive
she sells
they are.
Him two Legends boosters for the same price as regular boosters.
Right, and then in the fourth episode, they convince Kevin to buy the whole box of Legends instead of buying a Black Lotus for reasons that we don't need to get into. But then we realize, oh, he just bought two Dark Ascension packs.
Like
at the bottom of his box. And so, spoilers, if people are going to go watch it, but he ends up burning down the store by the end of the season. We were like, oh, he'd be really mad about that. It's a great ending. And we also had reasons to not want to film in the store anymore for just filming location reasons.
Yeah. So you guys employed some like pretty cut-rate CGI for the store burning, right?
It looked great. No?
I thought it looked really good, actually. I mean, considering all we had was just a shot of the store at nighttime. And then
we had a shot of the store and me with a gold gold reflector to make the actors look like it's golden. And we put some smudges on their face.
Our editor,
they all looked good.
Our editor, Alex Field, who was also doubling as a camera guy because we just could not keep a single DP for the whole dang season. His roommate at the time does a lot of work in VFX.
Yeah.
So he just gave it to him and said, hey, can you put fire on this and make it look convincing? And the guy's like, oh, yeah, no problem. Knocks it out in like 30 minutes.
It ends up fire special effects are pretty, like,
Yeah.
It's pretty established at this point. Like, and you just have to like kind of point at a thing and put
like,
the program in.
If you really look at it, you can tell it's not on fire.
I don't know why you guys...
But it looks so... Like, for the purpose of the shot and the reveal of it, it's just perfect. And it looked great. And
I don't know why you guys didn't just burn a store down.
I mean, don't get me wrong.
Budget,
we thought
you know?
About it.
Yeah, the budget of no money.
I think it was more or less the issue of none of us wanted to go to jail.
Right. No, that's a good point. So,
but let's just say that things got pretty rough shooting there towards the end,
right,
to the point where not only did we write in burning down the store, a couple of us considered actually burning the store
down. Well, so, I mean, the major reason for leaving was there was a very crappy air conditioning unit in the store, and it was already on its last leg, and I turn it off in the day, and it never turns on again.
Yeah.
And so I get blamed. And he forces us to buy him a new air conditioning unit.
And install it.
And have me come at like 6 in the morning and install it that Friday. And by the way, for those who don't know, I have no technical skills to be able to install an air conditioning unit.
I don't know. You're pretty technically sound, man. You produce this podcast. You edit the audio and everything.
But that's like a computer. I can tell a computer to do something. But installing a physical...
He's not very mechanically inclined.
Yeah, installing the fan?
Yeah. Like
it's like, wait, you mean put box in wall? Wait, how put box in wall?
So like I fail horribly. Eventually someone gets it. I forget exactly how it works. But basically after that, I was like, I'm done.
So we got to give some more stuff away because
we're starting to get
low on time, and
I
want to make sure
almost 40 minutes.
We cover enough of the episode and also give all the swag away. So let's back to back it right now so we can just keep talking.
All right,
yeah. Let's give away the last deck box and the top decking tokens, and then we're gonna wait a minute before we give away the signed architects.
Okay,
and then we'll do
architects,
the
architects. All right. So which one's first?
The last deck box.
This is the last. Custom made. There's only going to be 3 in existence because we're also losing the space and those spray paint. They're going to use the spray paint. So it's really literally these are it.
This is it.
He goes to Mine Stuff.
Mine Stuff.
At Mine Stuff.
It says that Alex wasn't making it up. There's only one F.
So would it be like Mine Stuff?
Mine Stuff.
At Mine Stuff.
Or it's Minus Tough.
This is a deck box.
Or Mine's Tough. Like a tough mine.
Yes.
Maybe.
This top
I don't know.
Decking
it could be anything.
Deck box. Okay, we're going to back to back it. This is a full set right now of top decking tokens. There's 8 of them or something? 9 of them?
Well, we can't confirm that. There's one for every major character plus myself because I wanted a token of myself, and it's the Batterskull Germ. So,
yeah.
Woo!
Yeah, so this is for
Ben's
that.
A vampire token made by Soren, which makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, so it goes to... I'm never going to say this right. I say it wrong every time. I'm sorry. Dirk Coach.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yep.
Dirk Coach.
Coach.
Dirk Koch. I'm something. XX1. It's a great name. I don't know how to pronounce it either. He told us once on Twitter.
Oh,
I'm very
sorry. Yeah. If it's German, it's Dirk Koch.
Yeah. I think he had described it for us once. Thank you. And
It's not just you that I'm bad at all reading.
I don't remember what Koch means. I just know how
I still read Island Island in my head when I read it.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's the last.
I say it correctly, but I read it in my head. Island. Yeah.
So there's okay. So we have 2 more things, but we're going to wait just a minute. We're going to talk a little more about the series. So I do want to ask you, Kessel, the series is about Becca. It's about a girl. And at the very beginning, when you guys were concepting it and everything like that, as we've just revealed here, that is, this is your lady.
That's true.
Was there a casting process, or was it at the beginning you envisioned it with her in the role in the first place?
So it definitely was written with her in the role in the first place. The reason we chose for a girl the lead is partly just due to like a diversity factor in the Magic Gathering community. It's so often that this would be a guy. And I wanted to make sure, like, you know, guys aren't the only people that play Magic, so I wanted to make sure at least... And yes, she didn't know anything about the game, but the point was for the story arc is her to get good at Magic, and she eventually becomes a judge in the most ridiculous possible way possible.
Yeah. It's actually fantastic.
By the way, my other cameo, I'm one of the 5 judges.
Oh, the council?
I'm the council of 5.
The black mana judge.
Do you guys both have a favorite episode? Is there, like, I mean, I know we mentioned a few for the fans, the audience to check out, but
like I said, Black Lotus is probably my favorite episode of the first season.
I think my favorite, and it's also, weirdly enough, my first appearance is episode 7 of first season.
Is that the Brownie
episode?
Brownies.
That's a funny episode. Chronic Flooding.
Chronic Flooding, yeah.
That's funny, yeah.
And based off its title and the fact that it's about brownies, you can kind of put together, not the most child-appropriate, and probably the main reason Wizards never sponsored us, but...
I think that one is it. Like, that's...
Yeah. Got you in trouble.
Yeah, that's it.
But it's by far maybe the funniest thing. Yeah. I think it plus Natalie's character together... are the reasons that we never got sponsored.
Yeah.
Because Natalie just swears a lot.
Yeah,
that's her main character.
She drops the B word a couple times in there.
So she started as a villain, and we made her into, like,
But she becomes redeemed.
Yeah, we did our.
She's like karate, like ninja. Yeah. Chucks.
A Rick and Morty, like sadness esque moment.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Where we took a character that you should not like, and then you're like, oh, but I feel bad now.
Yeah. Do you recall or like? And this could be like sort of the same question. This was obviously an independently financed endeavor, and you guys made a lot of episodes, yeah. and I was around on set a lot for a lot of it, so I saw the way it all worked. It was well put together, it was catered and everything like that. We had food, makeup people, all that. What sort of major cautions would you give to any young filmmaker who wants to do something like this, and or what would you have changed, I guess, because they're both sort of the same thing?
I would say the two things I would focus on is A...
don't set unrealistic deadlines for yourself.
Correct.
That was the very first mistake we all made with this
one. So I do think realistic deadlines is good, because I think one of the reasons we were able to accomplish what we did was because we had a deadline, we were riding just without pants on. I don't know. There's a metaphor here that's famous.
Sure.
It's like a cliche statement that I'm not remembering.
Riding
but
by the seat of your pants.
There we go. That one. And like, we were able to accomplish it because we had these ridiculous deadlines. Like, there were nights where I was up till literally the 7 in the morning the next day editing. And like, it's hard, but like, it's kind of...
Or sometimes we'd find out that we were getting kicked out earlier than was originally agreed upon.
Right.
One of the reasons we left the first store.
Right.
And we would just be like, okay, we've got to knock out 10 setups in the next 30 minutes, and we would do it.
Right.
We would just say, we're going to do this, and we're going to get it done. Everybody shut up, and let's work. And we just did it.
Well, I think what's really interesting about that, when you say that, and I would like to hear any more adding to that point, but... as a young actor, I'm not really an actor anymore, guys. I'm a host. You probably can gather that from what I'm doing here and the fact that I wrench it here and there. I do a lot of like live events and sports coverage and whatnot. But at the time...
You have the voice of a host.
Thank you. When I came here, I wanted to do acting. I was like an actor, model, music guy. And I jumped around with all of it. And I kind of gave up on all of them in their own ways. But when I got this role, it was obviously because I knew Alex. He was like, there's a part that... But
well, I mean, to be totally honest, one of the reasons you got the role is because you helped a lot in casting. So we did all of the male roles we casted, like every single one of them.
I read for all the leads,
and you read with them, and like kind of my pseudo deal with you is like, I'll make sure you get some part in it, and so I made sure we literally wrote the fatale role for you,
which was the vampire thing. So it's funny, but so I remember going home and saying to my girlfriend at the time, this is a really professional set. I wasn't really expecting that much from I had never worked with you and I hadn't been on a lot of sets, and it was just my friend from the Magic Card store. So I was like, this was pretty professional. And then even more so was when the first episode came out, and I remember thinking it was each week it was coming out on time, edited like to deadline. So it was pretty impressive, all things considered. I mean, I know it sounds like there was a bit of a disaster behind the scenes to get that to happen.
I don't think
there were a lot of arguments behind the scenes to in terms of cuts and things like that.
Oh yeah,
especially at the beginning. Once we worked out a system of keeping,
I think every person at some point yelled at every other person.
Oh, definitely.
Me and Craig had a fight a few times. You and Sam got at it
a lot. Yeah, I definitely had a shouting match with
Sam. Because Sam had very specific ways that things were written, and Oliver was like, no, but that doesn't work.
Yeah,
right.
It's like, well, we didn't shoot it that way, so I'm not going to cut it that way, that sort of stuff. And then it would be like, well, I think that, and then I'd be like, well, you're the writer, buddy.
Right.
It's like, you want your input, be on set. And so it's like, we had a bunch of arguments, but we got past it.
So what?
If I could take anything, if I could do anything differently, I think I would have. I met this guy, Alex Roten, who does a lot of web series type stuff.
Right.
His method is that he shoots the whole thing a year before he's going to release it.
Right.
And then he edits it during the in-between time his planned goal to start releasing it, so that when he releases it, he's got one episode every week on the same day on the website.
Right.
All that sort of stuff. I wish we could have done it that way, or we had the foresight to do it that way.
Sure.
But we didn't. And so we just rolled with it, rolled with the punches, and got it done by any means necessary, really.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, you hear this from a lot of people that do independent production, whether it's a web series or if it's shooting like YouTube videos, like things that are a little bit more personality-based than scripted. But the same thing is get a lot of content. Podcasters, you'll hear the same thing. We fall victim to that sometimes. Obviously, we'll be a day off sometimes in our release schedule for the same reason, which is just we're doing it every week, but then there's editing or something comes up the day of. So,
yeah, I would say the big thing I regret from that period is we at the same time to do Top Decking created a website called webisodesnetwork.com, which was meant to be kind of a Hulu competitor to YouTube. That was
Netflix
meant about like
for web series,
Netflix for web series, and in hindsight, we should have never created that website. What we really should have done is just focused on content creation, and like content is king, and we did a good job with Top Decking. I am very proud of Top Decking, and I think the fact that we got whatever following we did get for Top Decking is akin to how well that did. And I think that if we had focused on, you know, even after the first Top Decking season, making different content, but just creating content was something that we were really good at.
Well, yeah, I mean, definitely.
Like, we had a strength that we didn't stick to. We decided to get into web development that none of us knew how to do.
I got messages on Facebook from, like, various, like, an old friend from high school who's like, hey, I play Magic, just came across this thing. You're in it. It's really cool. I got messages from various people. I can't remember where, but maybe Twitter once somebody sent messages. Then we were in Vegas this last year for GP Vegas. I mean, 7 or 8 people approached me and were like, hey, you were in Top Decking. So it definitely was seen by the community, which is a very cool thing as people, you know, we work in this community now and we're around it all the time. And that's rewarding to love Magic as much as I do and be around as many Magic players as I am to have been a part of something that maybe affected someone, which is, I guess, what we hope this podcast does. Let's give away some Grand Architects.
All right. Yeah, give it away.
All right,
give
so.
Give it away now.
The signed playset of Grand Architects.
Yeah, we have 4 of them.
We have 4.
Oh, my. You got to draw a couple names here.
No, we're giving away all 4 to one person.
Yeah.
And we're going to send you 4 Grand Architects with signed. Now, I have a personal request here. And this is not something that you need to do because we're giving you an item you don't want necessarily, but we're going to give it to you anyway. My request is that when you get these Grand Architects, send a deck list with your architects. Like, come up with an idea, because I've come up with a million of them, and please, I will share your idea because we are giving you these architects. We will do your deck tech on the air.
You will if you make a deck list with these architects, we will guarantee on the episode we're going to do in the future, which is going to be a deck doctoring episode, feature your deck.
Yeah, and with 4 Grand Architects, a modern deck, obviously. So let's give away some signed signed Grand Architects.
Speaking of blue 2 drops, this one goes to Invisible Stalker.
Oh, yeah, I know Invisible Stalker. Totally. Invisible Stalker, congratulations on your sweet, sweet set of Grand Architects.
If you are able to also incorporate Invisible Stalkers into this architect deck, we will give you extra points.
That's an awesome idea. I've tried that before. It's a good idea. You'll run into the problem, which is that there's no sweet piece of 4-mana equipment to curve into on turn 4 that you want to be playing. Costs 5. You need a 4-drop. The swords work, in theory, because you can curve into the sword, but you can't equip the same turn. So like something that just gets onto your Stalker that turn and uses your mana efficiently is what you're looking for there. Molten Steel Dragon is sweet. It's one that I like, but it doesn't interact with Invisible Stalker. Anyway, ideas. We are going to give away the last item now.
Well, before you do that, I do actually, I want to kind of to give, the when can Oliver, can you explain what? To us the moment you decided to do Top Decking?
The moment I decided to do Top Decking, I went to meet Alex and Craig for lunch, and this was the first time I was meeting Craig. And first they showed me the store that they wanted to shoot it in. And then we went to lunch and we started talking about ideas and, you know, Clerks in the Card Store. And then out of nowhere, we just got our food. We're about to like eat and discuss things. And this guy just kind of runs in, sees us, plops down next to me and says, Kessler, so-and-so just threw your deck against the wall.
Oh, geez.
And it turns out that Alex had loaned one of his buddies a deck to play.
Was
while
it Lawton?
Gone.
Tell me it was Lawton.
And
it
the
was
game went. Lawton. The game went. The game
it
went,
was Paul and Lawton.
Yes. The game went pretty crazy. Words were said. People got pissed off.
So, my general understanding is what happened.
And the
was
deck was then picked up and hurled full force against a wall from across the room.
And so, Lawton. Lawton wasn't the one that threw it.
Oh.
So, it's Lawton and Paul playing EDH. It's an EDH game. And this is even before like Commander was a thing, and Paul does something Paulish, which he's known for doing like very unfair things in very weird ways.
Yeah,
and Lon gets mad and grabs his mat and flips his deck in the mat into his face.
Standard.
So Paul then grabs my deck and chucks it around across the room.
Oh, nice.
So
these
Lon
guys
comes running in, and then Paul runs in. He's like, Alex, I'm sorry, I didn't know it was your deck. I thought it was his, and like. I'm just like, guys.
and this is where, again, Alex doesn't really lose his cool that often. And he while his face contorted a little bit, he stayed very calm. And then they left. And Craig is just, like, looking at me with, like, fear in his eyes. He's like, oh, my God, he's not going to work with us. Like, he's just, like, he just saw what this is and he's going to leave. And I just said, can we put something like that in the show? And so
love it.
Ultimately we kind of did, I think, right? Doesn't Jason have a rage quit where he just like flips
flip some cards over, or just like throw
we got
them
some rage quits going on.
So we got
sure.
a couple rage quits in there because I always like because after that experience of hearing about it, I was like, we've got to put something like that in the show, and I think at that point they knew I was in, and I wanted to do it.
Yeah, so, you're on board.
Yeah,
all the way. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so fun thinking back on this. It's crazy to think how long ago it was. But
well, and to like you were talking about hearing from people who see the show, and
yeah.
the Facebook still has people leaving comments on it every other month about when is season 3 happening, and there's comments on the YouTube videos like, man, I love this show, when is season 3 coming out,
which is one of those things where I would say that it, like if ever our podcast Masters of Modern gets like big enough, if this is ever yeah. a big enough thing that we could like put it out there like a crowdfunded Kickstarter type of thing
yeah.
that wouldn't just pay for the season but would actually make it so we could get all the actors and everybody back in and like pay all the people to come from where they are to do a season 3, I'm sure that the people involved would be interested. It's just one of those things you would have to get enough money raised
so
to
that, like,
do it.
Right now, the two best chances of more top decking content, as far as I can tell, are these two things. One,
radio play.
A radio play. So we and Oliver were talking about this today. It's possible if I can get Sam to help write scripts that we may one day, and this is a vague not promise, do similar to this podcast, do a series of episodes of top decking, but all audio.
Oh, interesting.
So mm-hmm. similar to kind of how there's some other story based audio play podcasts out there. We
yeah.
would kind of do a season of top decking. That would be feasible because we don't need a set. We just need to get the cast in for one day. We
right.
have the recording equipment, obviously. Mm-hmm. That's something that's possibly accomplishable.
And we can even bring them in at different intervals
correct.
And just read lines, edit it together, that whole thing.
I will return for my role as Vader. Gladly.
But and then the other option is, I mean,
well, so the other option
is raise the money to
yeah.
do it again.
I mean,
but
like,
we'd need to raise a significant
it would,
amount
yeah,
of money.
It would. I mean, it was an expensive series to make.
Yeah.
I think most like there's a chance that I'm going to be doing a Kickstarter for my own project at some point in the future.
Yeah,
and I may as like the top goal, if you give like $5,000, we'll make an episode of top decking. Yeah.
You know,
which is what like really the cost of top decking is. It's like a $4,000 investment for one episode.
Yeah,
so that's
really
where the cost is.
Yeah.
Especially at this point, because at this point there's no way to do an episode without paying everyone full rates.
Well, yeah, right. But what's interesting about that is that, you know, you look at some guys like Kevin Smith or these guys that have made content in the past that, I mean, look, great example, Will Forte and MacGruber. He's a friend of mine, and they've got a script for MacGruber 2 done, right? That's like a thing that it's been worked on. But they don't have like the financing. They're like, we don't want to make a MacGruber 2. It's the sort of thing where it's such a cult classic. People love that movie so much that if they put that out there, hey, we want to make MacGruber 2, crowdfunded, let's just get this. I'll bet you they could get it to happen.
Right.
And it's
probably.
I don't think we're at I don't think top decking got to the point where it can survive off of a crowdfunding based.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Like we crowdfunding the second season, but to be totally honest, a chunk
we're
of the money we crowdfunded
really a cult
with
show if you think about
right.
it. We're not like by any means we're no video game high school
oh,
for
no,
example.
Yeah, yeah.
right.
So it's like as much as I'd love to believe that these just because these people have been commenting and saying they want it and love it would make it happen, it's still
of course.
A very slim percentage.
And
so.
Speaking of video game high school, Jimmy Wong does show up in season 2. He's got a cameo.
Yes, he does.
Oh, yeah. He's the second scene.
He's the real estate
scene
agent.
Second season.
No, he's the
insurance.
He's the insurance
oh,
claims
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Claim, adjuster. Yeah. The evil insurance claims
that
adjuster.
Actually, that episode is also one of my favorite episodes
that was
general.
Fun the bringing like, them all back together was actually really fun
and there's like I always in script writing referenced it to Mighty Ducks 2
right
when Goldberg and the guy with glasses uh-huh. and Pacey from Dawson's Creek
you're dating yourself right now
yeah, like rollerblade through the city of Minneapolis with like a duck whistle and they like go to each of the original cast
yeah.
members and they're like wah, wah, wah. And then like they're like oh man and like one guy's like about to make out with the girl and they like show up at the worst moment
oh,
and then he's
man.
Like oh man
yeah
yeah so that's what the first episode of season 2 of Top Decking
is
like
it. I love it. Alright well you know what, we have to give away the modern
yeah
round.
So last prize
the MM Cast mat, guys. This is what you all signed up for, even though none of you wanted any of the other things we're giving away. You, lucky you, who gets this right now.
We're going to have like a few people that have never seen top decking that are getting weird top decking merchandise.
Oh, yeah.
And then we're going to get a few people that got cool stuff. And then like two people are going to get packs.
Yeah.
Really cool stuff.
All right. Let's see what it is. And it goes to @DEM Agnes A.
De Magnus Magnus A? D-E Magnus A. All right. Demagnus. Yeah. I'm not really sure.
Demagnusa.
You know who you are.
You got the MM Cast Matt. You get the MM. I'm writing it on your name here. MM Cast Matt. Congratulations. This is really exciting.
Lucky, lucky devil.
Eventually, guys, we will make more Modern Masters Mats.
Correct.
There will be more of them. In fact, question... this is a question I have.
I said this is the Twitter question for the week.
Yeah, Twitter question for the week. So what's a playmat cost normally? 15, 20, 25? What 20, is it?
For us to make it, it costs $20.
Oh, it's to make it. It costs 20.
Yeah.
So when you buy a playmat at a store, is it $29.99 usually?
$24.99? Well, so we're getting it from custom playmats. So normally a playmat's around $25, but since we're not getting it made from an actual manufacturer, we're getting it made from...
Yeah, custom. So whatever it is, if it was, like, it would cost us $20, we'd have to get it shipped here and then
would you pay
out.
$30 for a Masters Modern playmat? Well, I guess the real question I have, and this is more for the Twitter question, would you guys be interested if we made bonus content for a Patreon account?
Merch? I guess the real question is, yeah, bonus content or merch. Like, we have the ability to make Masters of Modern content. We've seen more interaction from you guys, and the cast continues to grow. It's just a question of we want to know if you guys actually want that stuff.
Correct.
So let us know.
Like, we could do as far as Patreon goes, there could be draft videos. There could be – I've thought about filming me and Ben just doing pack wars because I have a bunch of packs that we can war with. So, you know, cool
T-shirts,
bonus content that you guys might enjoy.
Ties.
We're definitely
We've
down
talked
to
about
do
making
it.
Masters of Modern ties.
So let us know if Patreon's interesting to you, and we'll start making maybe making a Patreon account.
Yeah.
Also, if you want to go find Top Decking. Top Decking is on the YouTube channel. I said it earlier. If you look up Top Decking on YouTube, you'll find it. There's all 24 episodes plus a bunch of bonus content that you can find there.
Oliver, what are you doing right now that people can know about?
What am I doing right now? My shameless self-promotion plug?
Yeah, this is the Oliver plug. You have 30 seconds.
I have an Indiegogo campaign for a science fiction horror film called Sleep Paralysis. It's about alien abduction experience, and it actually features an actor who plays a cameo in Top Decking Season 2.
Really?
Yes, Scott Segrin appears.
Oh, sweet.
In season 2 as one of the agents who takes away the young Francis.
Wait, I know Scott Segrin.
Yeah. He was also like the DP for half
he
of
also
season
DP'd
2 and a lot
oh,
of
that's right.
And he DP'd 2 episodes, I think episodes what was originally 3 but ended up being episode 3 and episode 5, the zombie survival episode.
So actually, for the record,
Top Deck, and that is also one of my favorite episodes.
Oh,
is the zombie,
yeah.
The zombie plan episode.
The episode where episode 3 and 4 was originally switched.
Yes,
but I switched it back.
You did,
yeah. So on YouTube, it's back to what it was supposed to be in the original.
Oh,
order.
So anybody getting into it now will see the original proposed story order,
which makes a lot more sense when you see episode.
Yeah.
Oh, like
now
the titles
four.
And everything.
So, like, originally, episode 1 was Becca shows up. Episode 2 is Becca messes up and learns. Episode 3 is Becca succeeds. And then episode 4, the store rallies around her against an enemy.
Gotcha.
But because of weird filming issues, it became episode 1, Becca shows up. Episode 2, she messes up. Episode 3, they rally around her, even though at that point she had messed up. And then episode 4... they save her from someone.
Gotcha.
Or she succeeds and saves the day.
Right.
So, like it's not
it's
a big deal
now.
But thematically, it was weird. So, it's better now. It's
fair enough.
Now that everything is out, and who cares about what time it came out? Because it all happened 5 years ago. All right. So, thanks, guys, for listening.
Yeah.
I'm glad you guys have been here for a year. And Oliver is going to continue saying what he's working on.
Sorry. But just to search it, just go to Indiegogo.com and type in sleep paralysis under the search bar.
What's some cool stuff you can get for...
Cool stuff that we're planning on giving away. We're going to be giving away stickers and posters and T-shirts, and we're about to unveil a hoodie as soon as I get the designs from the artist, as well as free tickets to the premiere and Blu-rays and DVDs and all the various other stuff.
Cool.
So please, if you're interested in that sort of thing, come on down and give us a contribution, because we can't make it without the help from you.
The man makes good content, I can vouch. Congratulations to all of the fans who won things today. We will get them shipped out. Alex, we should tell the folks about our sister podcast, The Command Zone, with Josh Lee Kwai and Jimmy Wong. They make awesome, awesome Commander content, and they can be found in the same place on rocketjump.com where we can be found.
Fun secret fact about The Command Zone,
yeah,
and I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, but I'm going to say it. Josh Lee Kwai is one of the people that edited one of the Star Wars trailers that came out today.
Did he edit the one that came out today?
He edited all the promos for the final trailer.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, so you can. He's super secretly really cool.
Yeah, he's a really cool dude.
I mean, he's not overtly cool.
He's like just cool, but like super secret, super cool.
Can we all share our favorite Star Wars story of the day? That's yours. I bought a Star Wars.
I don't know if that's my favorite story of the day.
I bought a neon green Star Wars toothbrush this morning. It looks like a lightsaber.
Nice. Oh yeah,
lights
I saw
up.
The picture of it. It's great.
Yeah, what you got?
My friend Megan did the 3D titling for the re-release of the much maligned and deservingly maligned Star Wars Episode One re-release.
Oh.
She did all the 3D titling in, I think, 20 languages.
I mean, in her defense, that's probably the only good part about that movie.
Yeah. It's true. And she's actually also the one who's going to be designing the poster and eventual website for Sleep Paralysis as well. So, hey.
I love it.
Cool stuff.
Ties in everywhere.
Hey. All right. Hey.
Once again, thank you for the last year. We're going to keep making good content. We'll be back next week with like actual strategy. Sorry if you guys weren't listening for that, and you just got a bunch
we
of top
forced
decking.
You to listen to a top decking interview so you could find out if you won the mat.
Yep. Make sure to follow us on Twitter. We are at the MMCast. You can also follow me at Kess Wiley.
You can follow me at Ben Bateman Media.
You can follow me at Social Crash.
Yep. And email us if you have any major questions, or if you have a cool deck tech you want to show us a brew. We are eventually going to do a deck doctor one, so the more brews we get, eventually, once we get a amount that we think are interesting and enough to fill up a full episode, we'll do a deck doctor episode.
That'd
so
be fun.
The mmcast@rocketjump.com is our email. And make sure to tweet at us. If you want us to have a Patreon account or some type of merchandise store, we will see if we can put that together, but we need to know from you guys if that's something you'd be interested in. Last but not least, goodbye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to the mmcast@rocketjump.com. See you later, alligator.